Brutal Brunch with your hosts Matt Moore and Matt Mastromorrow.
What do any of you know about being brutal?
Featuring Massachusetts metal and punk.
You know those lyrics about hell, demons, and doom? What if I told you it's all real?
WMFO Medford.
Welcome to prime time, bitch!
And welcome to Brutal Brunch here on WMFO Medford, 91.5 FM, streaming live on WMFO.org. Of course, as I warned you two weeks ago, that's Rob Zombie. It's Halloween. It's October, I should say.
It is.
So, we're obviously playing his music.
It feels good.
It puts you in the mood.
Halloween feels good, you guys. I've been watching all the spooky, not scary movies that Hulu recommends, including Spooky Buddies, which is the buddies, but they get into like a Scooby-Doo style adventure.
What are the buddies?
The buddies are Air Bud's children. So there's like five of them, and they all have different personalities. And one is like problematic, like kind of like doing like a minstrel show type scenario. Problematic buddy. Great movie. Fantastic.
Can we talk about, by the way, because all the TV networks have the things going on, AMC and Sci-Fi and all that. Verizon dropped Chiller on October 1st. And now
garbage.
Cox Communications is dropping Chiller.
Garbage.
I scrolled up for it. Looking for some sweet movies.
I got yesterday. Amazon Prime. You got to get Shudder. It's like
well, I have all
three
that.
Bucks. You have Shudder?
I don't have Shudder, but
Shudder's good. It's like $3. I was watching that, and it has like not just horror on it. Like, I was gonna say it doesn't have horror because I was watching Maniac Cop, which is an action movie. But like, yeah, That's why I watch all those awful cannibal movies on there. Cannibal Ferox, and it's bad. I don't know if we're going to do like a horror movie segment.
Oh,
like,
we'll have a horror movie segment.
Let's get to
it.
So I was kind of like upset about it.
And speaking of horror movies, actually, yes. let's do this first. So that was Meet the Creeper off Hellbilly Deluxe. Rob Zombie kicking things off, and he will also kick things off next show.
Hell yeah.
Can guarantee that, which will be in 2 weeks. And if you want to call in here, and you'll need these numbers for later on, the numbers here are 855-915-WMFO. That's 855-915-9636 or 781-350-3264. Because we have a contest today.
Wake up, people.
We have a whole ton of stuff to get to because it is our first planned two-hour show.
Two hours of us together.
You're back. How was your weddings?
It was a lot. It was a lot of weddings. The last wedding was in New York, and like it's very depressing. Like, it's in a really nice part of New York. It really makes me appreciate Boston and like Massachusetts in general because like I feel like the people we stayed at a friend of ours' apartment is like really nice, and I feel like they have hard jobs and they work hard. And then you go outside and it's just like smells like urine and hot trash. I'm like, you know, I would jump off a bridge if this was my reality. That's my opinion of New York. We did walk over the Brooklyn Bridge, which is a real thing you can do. I thought that was like a joke. I didn't realize you could do that.
You didn't think there was a Brooklyn Bridge for it?
I thought there was a Brooklyn. I don't understand the joke of like, let me sell you the bridge. I thought it was like, oh, you can't go on it. It's fake. I don't know. But you can walk on it, and like weird tourists are taking pictures like hanging off the side of it. And then the good news is you could fall directly into like heavy traffic. That's the thing that's interesting about it, because it's like kind of this like old timey bridge, but then there's like a, you know, like a pretty big highway that goes right underneath it. So people are like doing their like Instagram, like a chick was doing like a headstand in the middle of the thing. I'm like, you're nuts. You're nuts. And then like guys are like riding bikes and being real jerks about it and like elbowing people. I'm like, you're one step away
from
headstanding your way right in the front of a bus. So
well, I'm glad that was your takeaway.
The rest of New York was good. Except for their constant denigration of Italian people. Just every corner, there's the chef.
Were you offended?
Doing the kissy face everywhere.
Just for you. They knew you were coming. They put on a show.
It's racial. Racist.
Problematic New York.
Yeah.
Well, speaking also going back to horror movies, though, I am running on about 4 hours of sleep because of Suspiria last night at the Coolidge Corner. Coolidge After Midnight.
Did you enjoy it?
It was very nice. It was a, for those of you who don't know, they do the Coolidge After Midnight series throughout the year, obviously focusing on horror movies this time of year. But there was a recently newly discovered, never seen before, Italian print of Suspiria.
It was in Dario Argento's, like, salami box.
And it was found in Italy, and they sent it over to the U.S. It's currently touring the country.
That's nice.
It was in New York, it was in L.A., now it was in Boston. There's still tickets available for, I believe, the Tuesday double feature with Inferno. For any of you who know the trilogy that Argento put together. You can go on about Italian horror forever.
I'm shaking my head about Inferno. You can hear it.
Have you seen Inferno?
Yeah.
Oh, the Argento Inferno.
I saw
it. Oh, I didn't
know. Oh, no, you're talking about... Never mind. No.
I was going to say, I don't think anybody's not seen Suspiria, but they have seen Inferno.
No, that is incorrect.
I'm sure, yeah, it's different from what you have seen.
Yes.
But anyway, it was... Yeah, it was, and it's entirely in Italian, dubbed over in Italian.
Pretty romantic stuff.
Another thing about that movie is that it was all recorded. Whoever the actors and actresses, it was all recorded in their native languages. So Jessica Harper, who was the main character, speaking English. There's at least one guy speaking German.
That's
a bunch of people speaking Italian. And so they did it in, they had a silent version, basically, and they dub it over either in English or Italian, wherever you're watching it. But this one, so there were no subtitles with this cut. So the Coolidge Corner had to find a subtitle file and project it separately along with the movie so people could understand what was going on.
I think they should have had people standing on the side of the screen. Like, the line would be delivered, and then the person would be like, oh no.
Dubbing it live dub.
Uh-oh.
That would be disastrous.
Or they should get Japanese anime dubs from, like, the 80s, so everything is just a curse words every third word. Fan dub. Was it fan dubbed? I guess it would be fan dubbed.
I did see a movie in the past couple... Excuse me, past couple weeks was dubbed in English, and it was very not good, but we'll get to that later. So it's almost, I mentioned this also a couple weeks ago, but it's almost our anniversary. We're not going to be on the air for our anniversary weekend.
No.
But we did debut the show as Brutal Brunch.
Yep.
On October 22nd / 23rd last year. So very exciting.
You're going to notice that because there's a lot of stuff in the metal history that I'm like, oh,
it's a new challenge that we have to deal with. Yeah. How do we keep the metal, or how do you keep the metal history fresh?
How do I keep it fresh?
All right, and a couple of announcements to get to. So we have a band coming in the studio next week, Diva Carr, or in 2 weeks. I have to get used to saying that.
2 weeks.
Diva Carr will be here live in studio. And the Kelly Criterion, which I mentioned a couple weeks ago, because you weren't here. I did a clip show.
Yes.
Some of our greatest hits. And then include the full interview with bands now known at, band now known as Kelly Criterion, yep. Formerly Concutley. But they released an instrumental teaser of their debut album coming out in the fall. The debut single will be dropping on October 25th. So, as I said a couple weeks ago, new stuff from them coming out. And it was Friday the 13th yesterday.
It was.
You're very, or not yesterday. What day is it? It's Sunday. Friday the 13th. But you were disappointed in it. It was
very, well, I work in Salem now, and I was like very excited. I had some people coming in. You know, we're going to walk around, see the spooky stuff, and it all closed at like 7. Like, we got dinner, and by the time we were done, people were just wrapping up their shops. Everyone's going home. We did get to go to the Witch Museum, which I haven't been to since I'm like 10, and it's exactly the same. It's exactly the same. But it was great. I don't know. It's great. It was a good time. It was nice out. Spooky stuff. There was a whole family dressed as like 80s horror movie characters. Like the mom was Freddy. The dad was Jason. The kid was literally dressed up like Chucky.
Were they good?
No, but it was like, it was cool. Like, it was like, they were really working at it. So I was into that. The Church of Satan was there in the afternoon when I was taking my walk at lunch. I'm like, huh.
Did you join?
Hilarious.
Did you join?
Did I join? I was working the booth. No, I didn't. But I was like, oh, it'd be nice if these guys were here later because they're all like pretty funny people. And then they're gone.
Very entertaining Twitter account.
They do have a very entertaining Twitter account. They're always getting called out.
I know.
Anytime something happens, like some guy's like, the Satanist, and they're like, actually, we don't, there is no Satanist in the Church of Satan. Anyway.
And speaking of Twitter, you can follow us at Brutal Brunch.
Yeah, you can.
Posting the live playlist and everything else you need to know. Also on Facebook, Brutal Brunch Radio. And again, numbers here are 855-915-WMFO. That's 855-915-9636 or 781-350-3264. And you need to know those because today we are giving away tickets to see. You can see Cattle Decapitation.
Man.
Along with Revocation.
That's going to be good.
At once.
You should go see that.
We're giving a pair of tickets away today throughout the show. So, all you have to do is call in.
Just call.
And you can win these tickets.
Just call.
So, I suggest you do it.
Won't
you?
In
the meantime, we're going to play some music that was sent to us from the band Skin Drone, which is a two-piece band. And Otto.
What are the two pieces?
Otto and Eric.
What are the two, like, instruments?
Oh, well, there's a whole bunch of instruments in the band.
Oh, it's not two pieces, two guys.
Two person.
All right, two persons. Because two pieces would be two instruments, like drum and bass.
I'm sorry I misspoke for your literal morning here.
Excuse me.
The song we're going to play is The Witching Hour.
Ooh, The Witching Hour.
Off of their album Evocation. So here's a little background. As they say, Skin Drone is a two-piece internet band.
Well, I don't want to correct them.
Eric lives in Arkansas, and Otto lives in New Hampshire, so it's pretty impressive.
That's kind of neat.
Yeah. So they wrote, recorded, and produced the entire album through online collaboration. It's a mix of technical, extreme metal, and industrial, and Metal Injection named it. Again, there's Evocation. It was part of their Best of 2016 Honorable Mentions list for Best Underground Releases of the Year.
Pretty cool.
So, yes.
How do they record? How do they, like, go back and forth? Like, Skype? Or are they, like, just sending pieces to each other? Are they like, all right, I did this part, and then you add your part?
Probably, I mean, yeah, and it's funny because if you hear about how people put together albums, especially if they're not speaking with each other, like, they're doing it kind of remotely, one piece at a time, so
yeah,
I assume
I
it's just that
online.
Yeah,
like, a huge, like, if you're, like, Metallica or whatever, you're like, all right, I came into these riffs, but they have, like, a million-dollar studio. Like, if you're two guys, you're just emailing stuff.
Well, they
like,
have their own studios and stuff. I mean, I'm not a musician, so I can't tell you all the technical details.
But it's like me and you, where I like get on Audacity, and I'm like, there it is, and I email it over to you.
I think it's a little bit more high tech than
that.
Okay,
all right,
but
yeah, I'm pretty good at it.
That's true. You're so we tease your Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Stuff, and we have our first ever Hall of Fame entrant.
Yep.
Or inductee. It's very exciting.
It is exciting.
Their music has been stuck in my head all weekend now. I had to do some radio edits. And another piece of production from you, Raster of the Week, will be coming. I don't even know what the music is, so
it's
you'll
amazing.
Have to explain that to me.
I don't know. Sometimes it gets mixed down to two tracks and everything gets missed. I'm like Neil Young. I only record in flock orbis. Black Orbis.
Sure, sure.
I want uncondensed.
So, again, this is the song Witching Hour, which you can find off of Evocation from the band Skindrone. And you're listening to it on Brutal Brunch, WMFO Medford, 91.5 FM, streaming live on WMFO.org.
Come and take me back. America, we need to have a little talk. We've got more food in our country than we know what to do with. Food at the grocery store and food in the vending machines, fast food, health food, and seafood. We've got so much food that anything people don't buy, we just throw out. Yet 17 million kids in America struggle with hunger. That ain't right. Luckily, the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks has volunteers gathering excess food and getting it to hungry kids. They're kind of like food angels. Yeah, I made that up. It's kind of catchy. Hello, people. This isn't rocket science. We could solve hunger today. To start, become a food angel yourself by supporting Feeding America in your local food bank at feedingamerica.org. That's a website. Duh. We can't do it without your help. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
And welcome back to Brutal Brunch here on WMFO Medford 91.5 FM, streaming live on WMFO.org. You heard a cover of Kesha.
Yes.
That was Whispers of Andromeda with Supernatural. Before that was a Witching Hour from Skin Drone.
What a twist to the video.
I was all excited about the video to this.
Holy moly. I did not expect it. Murder.
The video. Did it put you even in more of a mood for Halloween?
It did, actually. Yeah. Like, I like a nice murder and a Kesha cover. That's what really gets me, like, ready to do some Halloween. See some candy corn.
All right. Well, then take it away for Halloween.
Welcome to This Week in Metal History.
Yeah, it's this week. By this week, I mean this 2 weeks. October 1st to the 15th. Critically, first, 1987, Mike Tyson's Punch-Out is released. One of the greatest games of all time. I think my favorite part, the most metal part of Mike Tyson's Punch-Out, is when the character sprite for Mike Tyson says, I wish you had children so I could stomp on their testicles and eat them so you could feel the pain that I feel every morning when I wake up. And then this song plays.
I never played this game in my life.
What? I tried to get a SNES Mini, if you want to talk about brutal or not brutal or whatever, the Super Nintendo Mini, whatever the heck it is. No, nowhere. And I was like, oh, maybe it's on Amazon. It was like $400. I'm like, absolutely not. I will continue to steal Nintendo games on my computer. October 4th, 1993, Wolverine Blues, the third studio album by Swedish death metal band Entombed. It's when they started to mix up all sorts of genres, when it became more death and roll, I guess, is the genre that kind of came out of this. I can't play too much of this because you start to say naughty words. Oh, man. Interesting that the cover had the, like, Marvel Wolverine character on it. In the initial release, but the band really didn't want it. It was kind of like a weird back and forth between the band and the label, and they're like, we don't want this. We don't know what that is. And people were like, no, trust me, you're going to want this. October 4th, 1994, heavy metal grandpa and cat enthusiast Danzig releases the album Danzig 4. It's amazing. Danzig's the greatest. When I was in New York, the one thing we did get to do was... We went to a karaoke bar, and I obviously had to lay it down. I had to tell the people that Mother was the best song ever written, and they had to believe me. You know, I convinced them. This is fine. The new Danzig that came out this year, I think, it's mixed wrong or something. I'm sure you haven't listened to it at all.
But I have not gotten to it yet.
The vocals are very prominent, and he can't hit the range he used to hit. And so it just sounds bad. It sounds like someone's doing karaoke over, like, another band.
Is it you?
It is me. Yes, that's right, folks, of the new Danzig.
You should record it and see if you can make it sound better than him if you can hit those notes.
I mean, I can. Honestly, like, I was
maybe like in that guy in Journey who replaced the lead singer.
I'm
maybe
like the fan, the kid, like, when they were in the Philippines and they, like, pulled the kid out of the crowd because on YouTube. But the thing with that is, like, I was making a list of, like, short heroes, you know, because, like, there's not a lot of short heroes for people to look up to who are short.
Yeah, so you were making a physical list of this?
Yeah, I was making an actual list of, like, who is my childhood heroes who were short? And one was Jorge Campos, who was the goalie for Mexico.
Speaking of, we'll get to international soccer.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, soccer things happened. Of course, Taz. And then, obviously, Danzig is on there, too.
How tall is Danzig? I didn't know he was short.
He's very short. Me and him are probably the same height. October 5th, 1998. Matt, have you ever heard of the band Rhapsody Fire?
I don't think so.
Hey, Matt, what kind of band do you think this is?
Power metal.
You got it, baby. Rhapsody Fire, Italian symphonic power metal band. This is their song Eternal Glory off their album Symphony of Enchanted Lands, which literally sounds like a Final Fantasy VIII PS1 soundtrack come to life. It's amazing. Listen to this.
It's pretty exciting.
Now we're rocking.
Oh.
Do you know what I'm saying?
No.
No? No? You're crazy. I think you're racist against Italians. October 7th, 1986, Slayer releases Rain and Blood. Slayer. I mean, this is like, it's still like one of the best songs ever. I don't know your opinion on this, but it is. It just is. I think Jeff Hanneman was in the news recently, or like on Metal Sucks News, like that level of news. Because he was like, he's kind of like a Fox News grandpa now, and he's like, I don't understand people disrespecting the president and the troops and so forth.
Wait, isn't
like,
he dead?
No. He's not dead. I'm going to think of someone else. Folks. October 8th, 1996, Marilyn Manson releases Antichrist Superstar. Matt, what was your opinion on Marilyn Manson as a child? This is Tourniquet off that album.
I was a fan. He got a bad, crazy rap because he was all into Satan and everything, supposedly. And I was getting into this type of music around the time Columbine happened.
Yes.
So he was quite vilified. But then I remember hearing his music for the first time. I think whether it was Beautiful People or what. And I'm like, this actually isn't that scary or
it's
heavy
not.
Or it's fun.
It's all his
it's
look.
It's good music.
It's just his look. It was all like a produced look, basically, that I think did it. And I honestly like long for this time. Like, although you were saying like it was Columbine, it seemed like a much more innocent time in music and in society. Because like there was like legitimate, like Joe Lieberman, I think, was trying to like get the music essentially banned. There's a law passed in Florida that they tried to get out that was saying like performances by Marilyn Manson were pornographic, and so they were trying to get all the concert goers like arrested, which obviously didn't go anywhere. But it just seems like a much more, I don't know, an innocent fun time. I also like the the rumor that Marilyn Manson was actually Paul from the Wonder Years.
I did not. Oh, I was aware of other rumors about him, but not this one.
What was the rumor you heard? Because I feel like this is like a middle school thing.
Well, the middle school thing, or high school thing, it was middle school, was that he had a rib removed.
That's a classic, of course. Yeah, that's fun. Like, there's no, like it's kind of corny and cheesy and, like, carny-like now, but, like, it's fun to be like, oh, this is this person. Here's all these, like, wacky rumors. Like, oh, I heard Marilyn Manson sleeps upside down in a coffin or whatever. Like, not true. No more sad boy garbage. Hey,
we'll get to him also, by the way, for Brutal Not Brutal.
Hey. Oh, yeah, that's right. No more sad boy garbage, though, man. Venom releases the album Primeval, October 9th, 89. Listen to this. Just listen to this.
I'm listening.
It's coming. As soon as this kicks in, I'm gonna break a pool cue over Matt's head.
Ah!
Man, Venom kicks so much ass. There was a last podcast on the left is like a really favorite podcast of mine. They do like kind of a mishmash of everything, like true crime, like conspiracy theory, like alien stuff, and they just kind of like do research into the stuff and kind of do it in a funny way. But they did a two-part series on like the first wave or second wave black metal or whatever, and like obviously did the Mayhem story and did a really good job. And then they really reminded me, like, man, Venom is so good, and like all those bands that took inspiration from Venom that are like completely opposite of, like, because Venom was like, they had wacky names, but they were like doing it for fun. Not like, no, I'm actually trying to summon the actual biblical devil. They're like, no, I mean, no. Venom kicks ass. October 9th, 1984, Armored Saint releases their debut album, March of the Saint. This is Can You Deliver? I think later the band would say that they didn't really like this song. I thought it was overproduced and too, like, poppy and not as... not that their stuff was, like, that much heavier, but not as brutal as they wanted it to be. But I love this song because it's cheesy. It sounds like the Transformers soundtrack.
When Brutal Brunch was first on, we would end with the Transformers.
It's great.
Music.
Excuse me. Listen to it, though. John Bush is a great singer. Huh?
Mm.
Huh?
Mm.
Huh? Matt's loving it, you guys. He's like rolling around just loving it.
Can you deliver?
Guys. October 10th, 89, DRI releases the album Thrash Zone, their fifth album and probably their biggest album, right? Their biggest crossover success. DRI, the only thing that I would know about DRI...
is the Lich King incident.
Is the... Wait, what happened?
When Lich King, their do-over EP, they took the Running Man logo and made it like Lich King with a cloak and crown, and they got a cease and desist.
I would imagine they did, because I was going to say the thing that I remember, the thing that I associate with DRI is like if you're at a show and there's like a guy with gray hair, he always has the DRI, like Running Man construction sign badge. And I'm always like, sweet, I wish I could have a battle vest. And then, no. October 11th, 1994, Korn released the album Korn.
Masterpiece. But masterpiece. Not being inducted into the Hall of Fame.
Not today.
Not yet.
Ooh, but someone maybe related. do you have Spotify, right, obviously?
Mm-hmm.
Have you tried the Spotify time capsule yet?
Yes.
What's in your time capsule?
I meant to, discuss this.
Okay.
Or this is a discussion point. Maybe if we have time on the show. But yes, mine, what did it start off with? Something amazing. And Together Now.
That's a good one.
Limp Bizkit.
Mine is all over the place. Because mine starts with Cisco's Enter the Dragon. And then it goes into, like, Metallica. And then the Grim Grinning Ghost song from the Disney, from the Disney's Haunted Mansion is on there.
Okay, you have me beat in terms of diversity.
It's all over the place.
Mine is essentially nu metal.
Yeah, that's what I figured. Well, that's what I was going to say is that, for me, there was a lot of Korn on there, and I get where they're coming from because of, like, what I'm listening to now and kind of what I would have listened to back in 2000, but I just wasn't listening to Korn.
You missed out.
October 13th.
That's all you're going to play us is the opening.
That's it.
Symbols from Blind?
That's all you get. October 13th, 89, Nothing Face, released by Canadian metal band Voivod. It's a good album.
This is what the band Nothing Face was named after?
I think so. This song, I believe, is featured in some part of the film of 1981's Heavy Metal, which I kind of subjected my friends to last night. It's not a great movie, but it's got a style. And the style is cartoon boobs, apparently. Because I was remembering it. I'm like, well, yeah, I know there's a lot of cartoon nudity in this movie, but it's not that bad. And then, every 30 seconds. So people must have thought I was an absolute monster. And honestly, they're right. Get out of here.
Boo.
October, all right, this is when I realized we've been doing the show for a year. October 13th, 1985, Helloween releases the album Walls of Jericho. This is Phantoms of Death off of that album. Helloween kicks ass, as you know, if you've been listening to the show for a long time. They're one of the patron saints of Brutal Brunch. So I wanted to look up more facts on this album because I feel like you're a loyal listener. So a brutal fact that I
learned. Get your pen and paper out. Add to your notes.
Was in the early 1980s when they were first pressing this album, they accidentally pressed Celtic Frost's 2 Megatherion instead of Walls of Jericho. So people would go in and buy their Helloween cassette and it was Celtic Frost and they were like, what? This Helloween is very different now. Let's switch it
I
up
feel
here.
Like that happens far more frequently than that you would expect.
Well, it's
when you see the headlines about this.
It's interesting too because I was thinking about the rise of vinyl again, like collectors and stuff. And there's like a short thing on it, maybe on it might have been on the regular news, like a CNN, like hey, check this out, did you know? Or it might have been on like a Vice thing, where it's basically like there's like one factory in Japan that's making all the vinyl for vinyl albums because. That's it. So, like, whatever you get, like, this guy is making it, essentially. October 13th, 1993, KMFDM released the album Angst. This is the song Light off the album Angst. Matt, you like KMFDM?
Sometimes.
Sometimes. I'm with you. Let me scrub forward. It just makes me feel like I should be in a vampire nightclub, you know?
Well, they came under fire around the same time after Columbine as well.
I would imagine.
And I just remember somebody in high school doing a class presentation and use a KMFDM song.
And being like, they're not so bad. They didn't do murders. Why? Why was KMFDM associated? I always picture them as like...
Because they're industrial and wear black clothes.
I guess. Anyway, never mind the garbage. October 9th, 2000, Hammerfall releases the album Renegade, which again reminds me we've been doing the show for a year. Thank you very much. This has been your Brutal Brunch. This is Keep the Flame Burning by our boys, Hammerfall.
Thank you, as always.
Thank you.
Highlight of the show. And now is the week in metal yet to come. We got 2 weeks of metal shows that you can see in Massachusetts. This we don't have to worry about repetition, although maybe we do. Should go back and see what was playing a year ago this week. But anyway, tonight, Sunday, at Midway Cafe, it is the Refuse Resist 10th anniversary show with special guests Disaster Strikes, All Torn Up, Neighborhood Shit, and Cry Havoc. Bright Music Hall, you can see Andrew W.K. with Swivel. Ooh. Tomorrow night at Orion's Pub, it's Greylock, King, Chiefs, and Sundrifter. Thursday the 19th at Middle East, you can see Piers, No Trigger, Russian Girlfriends, and Choke Up. At Ralph's, it's Hepatagua, Fires of Old, Metal Eater, and Gasoline Virgins. At the Sinclair, it's Matt's Girl, Chelsea Wolf, with Youth Code. Friday the 20th at the Palladium, it is I Prevail, with The Word Alive, We Came as Romans, and Escape the Fate. At Ralph's, you can see Cortez, Bottle Fight, Birch Hill Dam, Derailleur, and Hemi Devils. Bright Music Hall has Matt's least favorite band in the world, the Toadies, with Local H.
I will actually literally be there.
And Great Scott, you can see All Pigs Must Die, Wormwood, and Plagues. Toadies are playing two shows that, like, one of six, one of ten. Which one are you going to do? Both?
Six.
Silly question. Saturday the 21st, it's a big one. Middle East has Propagandai, or I totally blew that name.
No one knows that pronounced.
Propagandi, Iron Chick, and Heart Sounds. Ralph's, it's Never I, Of Virtue, Disastro, Shadowlings, and 6 Foot Silence. Bright Music Hall, Soulfly, Cannabis Corpse, Noisem, and Lodi Kong. At Great Scott, it's Scissor Fight, Roadsaw, Test Meat, and Mantooth. Orion's Pub has Tombs, Bewitcher, Sayax, and Slow Death. Sammy's Patio has Obsidian Tongue, with Inhuman Form, at Marrowfields, Aerial Ruin, Dwell in Moonblood. 13th Floor Music Lounge, you can see Barishi, Rosamoff, Husbandry, and Cazador.
Wow.
Then on Sunday, the 22nd, at Middle East, it's Kalmax, Rosamoff, Husbandry, and the Nomad Stones. Ralph's has No Funeral, Ice Tomb, Oziki, and Undercliff. At Orion's Pub, you can see Aneurysm, Max Jupiter, LMI, and Blood-Built Empire. Next Monday, the 23rd, O'Brien's Pub, you can see Cobalt, another two-piece band, Pig's Blood, and Eaton. Tuesday, at the Palladium, will you be there, Matt? Insane Clown Posse?
Yep.
With R.A. the Rugged Man?
will I be there?
And Outland Camp. Handing out your Church of Satan pamphlets?
Yep.
Midway Cafe.
Hey, Jeff Hanneman is dead. Guys, I'm really tired.
When you said that, I was like, they had a few...
Tomariah. Jesus Christ.
Midway Cafe has Intoxicated Rage, Graves Harbor, and Zero the Clock. Wednesday, the 25th, at the Palladium, it's Yngwie Malmsteen with Sunlord.
Oh, Yngwie Malmsteen, I play the notes.
And the 25th through the 28th, at Ralph's, it's the 6th Annual Heavy Metal Halloween Covers Weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Friday, the 27th. Uh-oh. Oh, yeah, Bright Music Hall.
Wait,
forgot
what
the
covers?
Venue.
What are they covering?
You will have to go and find out.
Do they just do the Monster Mash?
It's heavy metal covers, man.
Of the Monster Mash?
You can request it, I bet.
Okay.
And then get beat up.
Good luck.
While you drink your $2 Gansets.
Good luck to trying to beat me up.
Friday, what month are we in? October 27th.
Yep.
At Bright Music Hall. It's Big D and the Kids Table. Springheel Jack. I played those guys back in Worcester when I was out there.
Springheel Jack!
And Mickey Rickshaw. Saturday the 28th at the Palladium. It is Gwar, the Blood Gods Tour.
Hell yeah.
With Ghoul, Doyle, and U.S. Bastards.
Great.
Bright Music Hall has the second night of Big D and the Kids Table, Springheel Jack, as well as Lenny Lashley's Gang of One.
Springheel Jack!
13th Floor Music Lounge. You can see, apparently it's Halloween Part 2. I don't know what Halloween Part 1 was, but Halloween Part 2, you can see
Halloween
Soul Remnants, Coffin Birth, Bellor, and Goblet.
Back. Halloween Part 3, Season of the Witch.
One of my original hot takes was that Halloween 2 was better than Halloween.
One of my original hot takes is that Halloween 3 is the best Halloween movie.
But that's not a hot take anymore, because all the cult hipsters say that.
Do they?
Yeah, it's really irritating.
I'm done with it then.
You can't like it anymore. You gotta move on.
Friday the 13th.
You gotta move on to, what's his name? Busta Rhymes. Kicking him out the window.
Yeah, Halloween H2O.
And finally, this is a big one. In Brockton at Max's Blues Cafe next Saturday. It is Haunted Halloween Metal Fest, the Homeless Benefit Show, with Unlimited Warfare, Seventh Son, which is an Iron Maiden tribute, Force of Habit, Infested Prophecy, The Gallows Instance, Druzlan, Dawn of End, and Feed the Beast. That is your next 2 weeks of metal shows.
Good lord.
In the state of Massachusetts.
That's a lot. That's a lot, man. I'll be at the, I'll be on stage with ICP, obviously, and I will obviously be at the Toadies show, because I'm honor bound to watch the Toadies whenever they're in town.
Are you actually on that show?
Yeah. You ready for Black Metal Song of the Week?
As always.
Guys, Black Metal Song of the Week is a new one. This is from our boy Samael. This is Angel of Wrath off their new album Hegemony, which released last Friday. All right, here we go. You know, I was going to pick King Diamond, but I'm doing this out of just...
Oh, I appreciate
I'm just trying to be
nice. I saw a dude get off the orange line the other day.
Was it King
Big
Diamond?
Big bearded fellow with a King Diamond switcher on.
Amazing. Were you like, be my best friend forever?
I rolled my eyes and pushed him on the tracks.
Samael, Black Metal Song of the Week.
Today is his birthday. He was my son today!
Welcome back to Brewer Brunch here on WMFO Med for 91.5 FM, streaming live on WMFO.org. That, of course, was He Was My Son, and today was his birthday from the band Half-Hearted Comeback, which we play every time around, or every year around this time.
I could have met Kane Hodder, but I didn't have my wallet, so I couldn't go into the thing.
Was he there on Friday the 13th? Around.
No, was he there a couple weeks ago.
He probably drove into Worcester for Rocket Shock, right?
He's probably in Worcester right now. Actually, he's probably
going on this weekend.
He's probably getting gains right now, Matt, in the gym. While you're sitting here on the radio, eating Quest bars like a sellout. You know, he's doing the leg press. Shredded. Actually, no, he's definitely not doing the leg press. He's doing like a wrist curl of some kind. Oh, man. Well, him and digging in the marrow is...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Digging up the marrow, digging in the marrow, digging up the marrow.
Digging up the marrow.
Digging up the marrow. Because he just, like, kicks the door in. Like, that's the only way he knows how to, like... even
it's
just,
such
like,
a good movie.
His day-to-day life. He just, like, walks in with a bunch of coffees. He doesn't know how to, like, open a door like a human. He just kicks doors in. Oh, my God.
That's how you should go around making your entrance now.
I'm going to kick doors in constantly. I'm going to kick the window out when I walk out of the studio. I'm just going to walk through the window.
Walk through. All right. It's sports time. We got a new feature that we're about to debut. Before we get to that... some entertaining sports news, at least to me.
Wait, hang on. Can I play an entertaining sports bed?
Sure. You need me to wait, or can I go ahead?
Give me 1 second. All right, go. All right, sports.
Now I feel official, like I'm at a desk here, which I am at, with my papers, my notes. The Bruins, unfortunately, they won last night, but they're still pretty terrible.
I know this.
You know who's not terrible? You're a Tampa Bay Lightning.
Yeah, pretty good, right?
4-1. They've now defeated Pittsburgh, Washington, in St. Louis, all in a row. Clicking on all cylinders. People are hating on Vasilevsky for his high goals against right now, but they're not watching the games. They don't know that he is bailing them out, and he's one of the main reasons they have knocked off the defending champions.
So how do you feel about that, though? Like, you think you can win games, like, 9-7 the whole season, or what?
Yeah, well, they won 2-1 last night.
All right.
So.
Okay.
He's also started all 5 games. You get to see your boy Peter Budaj start a game.
No,
but he's the man.
The Bruins are dead.
I heard your boy on station here
claimed that the Bruins could make a run to the Eastern Conference Finals because of the division they're in. And he proceeded to talk down Toronto and Tampa Bay. And he cited Vasilevskiy's goals against average. And I'm like, you, sir,
that doesn't make a lot
do not
of sense.
Know what you're talking
was
about.
Was that Michael Felger?
No. This was supposedly like, well, actually, he was in the running for the Bruins play-by-play, but Ryan Johnston.
Interesting. Oh.
Although, have you heard that guy, the new play-by-play radio guy? As
Gosher
got
actually.
The TV gig.
I've not heard
Las
it.
Vegas. Las Vegas, by the way, won their first three games.
Yeah, I've been kind of curious.
James Neal has about 22 goals.
Their mascot very is exciting. Chance, which is interesting.
Sorry, another entertaining Twitter account.
Can you just gamble on the games? You can just go in and start making bets like in the stadium, you think?
I think you should try that.
I guess I will. I've never been on an NHL game in the stadium. Chance. Anyway, hockey, I guess.
The best sport.
Red Sox
second
class,
best sport.
John Farrell's
best sport
fired.
Is baseball. However, your Cubs, your favorite team, the Cubs.
Oh, yeah, the Cubs.
Or the AL.
Yeah.
The NLCS lost last night to the Dodgers.
That's disgusting.
But the Astros, master of the Astro over here, they're up 2-0 on the Yankees.
Good. And I like the Astros. It's a fun team. Like, they're like an exciting team. They do
I was very stressed out when they were playing the Red Sox.
Altuve.
Because I hate the Red Sox so much.
Another short hero.
Another short. There you go. He is pretty incredible.
Put him on the list.
The probable MVP. He's
oh, yeah.
Shorter than us, right? I think he's.
I think I'm like legitimately taller than that guy, which is crazy.
It's also it's fun watching him play against Aaron Judge because.
Yes, because Aaron Judge is like, I don't understand him. Like, you look at him, I'm like, what happened? Why are you playing baseball? Why aren't you like a Viking or something?
And finally, very quickly, your boy Isaiah Thomas hates Danny Ainge. We'll never talk to him again.
Yeah, why? What happened?
Southampton
there?
Kicks off in just over an hour against Newcastle.
Wow, I tell you, I've been really waiting for some soccer takes here.
Exactly, football. The only real football sport.
What's your thought on the men's team losing
to
laughed. Trinidad?
I laughed. I was quite satisfied. Ugh. I hate the U.S. men's soccer team. By the way, everyone's like, oh, the United States fails to qualify for the World Cup. And everyone's like, the women are the reigning world
like,
champions.
Yeah, every year.
But your girl, Alex Morgan, getting herself escorted out of Disney World with
what'd
her
she
drunken
do?
Friends.
Come on.
Like, all the a bunch of women's players date, like, all the Orlando guys, and they were all wasted at Disney and try to cut people in line or something. And
Orlando.
They had to get escorted out.
Guys
they,
from Orlando?
They try to start the Orlando soccer team.
Orlando soccer guys?
Yes.
Interesting.
MLS. So yes,
let
I'm quite satisfied.
Alex Morgan drink at Disney World.
Iceland though is qualified for the World Cup.
Oh yeah.
So if you watch them during the Euros, did you watch the Euros?
Nope.
I'm sure you did.
Nope.
And the Thor clap.
Oh
it's
no.
Great. Watch it.
Not.
Look it up on YouTube. All right, now you can take it away for.
What do we got?
For.
Wrestler of the week.
Hold on, I don't want to play the wrong thing here.
Yeah, the NBA and NBC theme is so good.
All men are created equal, but you look at me and you look at Small Joe,
ooh,
and you can see that statement is not true.
Guys, I just learned how to use Audacity.
What is this?
It's the BDK theme from Chikara.
Oh, this nice.
Because it's so good and it like builds. This is a lot of Scott Steiner clips in this. Very happy with it.
So this Claudio Castagnoli era?
Mm-hmm. Yep,
I'm doing the thing.
Don't lie, and they spell disaster for you.
The Brutal Brunch Wrestler of the Week.
There we go. Finally got to it. That was Gorilla Monsoon, I believe.
That was Gorilla Monsoon. There's another fun part of this. You know, like half the segment is the.
Where's Jakob Hammermeyer when we need him? So, is there a segment?
No. Wrestler of the week this week is Adolfo Margarito Tapia Ibarra, the Dancing Skeleton Man, La Parca. La Parca, La Parca. So, I've been retired from the WWE Network because I don't know. I can only vote with my money, so I'm just not going to give any more money to them for a while. But so I've been watching a lot of AAA on YouTube in particular. And like La Parca is like someone I think people would recognize because it's Skeleton Man mm-hmm. with a pretty awesome mask.
Mm-hmm. Who somebody wants to start to remove one time.
Many times. So that's the thing. So there are, he obviously La Parca been wrestling in since the 80s in Mexico in various promotions, primarily AAA. did a run in WCW, as you remember, in like the 90s when they had the cruiserweights. But he's never like a cruiserweight. Like, he's a Mexican wrestler and he's a luchador, but like, he was always kind of like a paunchy brawler guy and like never did the technical moves that I wanted to see out of like any of those guys, because they didn't like give you a backstory when you're watching like Nitro or whatever. Known as the chairman in WCW, because he'd come up with a chair and just whack guys with it. But mostly just known for dancing. And so it was funny to watch like old Nitros. And then now I've been digging back into the back catalog of La Parca in AAA and watching him. Basically, his entrance music is Thriller. So anytime he comes out, no matter what happens, the crowd like loses their mind. So like, even I was watching a thing from this year's Triple Mania, right? Which is like their WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
So it's it was like a big multi.
It was approximately 8 hours long.
It was 25 hours long. I'm still watching it. It was like a multi-man match. The crowd is like exhausted. And then like all these like, you know, internationally known studs are coming out. Like whatever. I think his name is like Johnny USA, but it's like Johnny Nitro, whatever. Mm-hmm. And so obviously big stars. What's his face? Pentagon.